Welcome to Unfiltered and Unfettered.
And welcome to episode 10 of Unfiltered and Unfettered. I am your co-host Tony, along with my co-host Fran. Fran, good evening.
Hey, good evening, Tony. I think this is the tinfoil anniversary, or the 10th. I'm not sure.
The 10. It's a special demarcation because we're in America. We use the metric system, and so 10 is our first even number. That's really.
Well, it's even more special is the fact that we've actually been able to doing this for 5 months.
5 months
since we go every 2 weeks.
Ten is special because it's the first number that uses other numbers over. Yeah.
That's deep. I'm a mathematician, and that's deep.
That's true. Yeah. It uses one. They've already been used.
Yeah.
So every number after 9 is just using somebody else's baggage.
That's right.
But it is 10, and it is kind of cool for us. It means 5 months we've been at this. Okay, and that's a long time.
I'm afraid to say that we probably worked harder than this. That we did the last 5 months we were in the Air Force.
That is not true, my friend. I deny that. But we've got a growing listener base.
Yeah.
We're glad for everyone that listens in. And, you know, the main thing is, Fran, you know, we always talk about our Air Force past. Let's reset the podcast just a little bit for maybe some of our new listeners.
Okay.
We started off with a blog last October.
October, I think, yeah.
It morphed into kind of us talking about doing a podcast, a suggestion from a friend, actually.
Well, yeah, buddy Kevin had said that he enjoyed the time when we were on the Warrior Network in the Air Force together as instructors on a live television show. And
we enjoyed it as well.
Yeah, we did. That was the best time of my career. So
yeah.
He just said it would be great if you guys could figure that out and get back on the air somehow. And like we've been talking about, you know, a couple of nut jobs with access to the internet. And
with access to some cheap sound equipment and the internet. A dangerous combination.
Right.
So we are back like a rat snake in the rain crawling up on your porch.
You know, with 2 weeks in between podcasts, I would think you could come up with better metaphors than this.
Well, I guess I just think of them off the cuff. So, and we have some serious stuff. We always say this, but we have some serious stuff going on.
Well,
we have some fun stuff. Let me say, though, that we have a very special, we're going to bring back one of our former sponsors who's agreed to sponsor our podcast tonight. We have a special public service announcement, and we have a very special edition of Who Said That, a special commencement edition coming up for our listeners, so you need to stay and listen to that.
Is commencement speeches?
Commencement speeches. This is going to be fun.
I faked my way through college. This is going to be a problem.
All right, Francis, well, we're ready. Let's get the shotgun in the news. All right, first up, Fran, our always... A traditional golf reference. Sergio Garcia makes a racist joke about Tiger Woods.
This story just won't go away, right? So of course, there was a little battle back and forth if you've listened to the last podcast and if you watch any golf on TV, or even if you're not a golf watcher, this story appeared in a lot of different areas. But like Garcia took offense to something Woods did on the course. Woods basically, in his post-round interviews, acted like he didn't even know who Garcia was. Garcia took offense to that, ran his mouth, said it was all done, I'm the victim. Then, at the Ryder Cup, like, awards dinner that they had when they got the whole Team York together, he said, a reporter asked him, at the U.S. Open, are you and Tiger going to have dinner together and iron things out? And Garcia said, oh, yeah, I'll go over to my house. I'll serve him fried chicken every night. Now, I'll only say, in Sergio's defense, and someone has told me that this doesn't hold water, but he is a European. He doesn't live here. You know, he may not understand the gravity. You know what I'm saying? Like,
okay, well, let me tell you. I looked up the reference because I just don't get it. I understand that there's a connection with African-Americans, black people, and fried chicken and watermelon.
Right.
I don't get it, right? So I researched a little bit, and it comes from two things. Number one, the proliferation of slaves in the chicken was cheap meat to feed them. But also the... I think it was 1919. I'll get that date wrong, but it was a film called The Birth of a Nation depicted African Americans in a negative light, and part of them was showing, you know, government representatives, black people with their feet eating up on the table, eating chicken, and so this negative connotation of fried chicken. Because I don't get it. Because Tiger Woods, and then he come out and he said, yeah, I'm very insulted.
Well, he tweeted that he was. And then he said, he's pretty sure Garcia regrets that.
Like, dude, you make $1 billion and you got in trouble slinging your schlong all over the civilized world. So, you know, you're offended that somebody made a reference to fried chicken. Get over it.
Yeah, I think he did. I think if you take the comments he said before that tweet he sent out about being disheartened, and I don't know if he ever used the word offended, but obviously he's trying to intone that he is. But he's more aggravated that you're still talking about this stupid thing that really didn't happen on the golf course. This tournament was over 3 weeks ago now, and they're still talking about it, and everyone's calling it a war of words. But that's really not accurate, because Woods is not saying anything.
Right.
Garcia keeps poking Tiger, if we can use that metaphor, right? So, I don't get the point. So he's getting aggravated about it, I think, more than anything. If you look at the body of his tweets about the issue, and there aren't
very
many.
Well, it's a racial thing. I mean, and I've got a couple other examples of things that we could talk about regarding the race. Maybe we should delay those to another podcast, because I've been told in the recent past that I'm insensitive about those issues. As a white man.
No. But come on, you.
Oh, Francis, crazy. There's a big heart beating
that's crazy.
In here, my friend.
Crazy talk.
Big heart. Okay. So maybe a lot of hullabaloo about nothing.
Oh, absolutely a lot of hullabaloo about nothing on both sides.
Yeah.
But Garcia just needs to shut his mouth.
Yeah,
that's
he does.
The problem. Because we're talking 78 wins to 4. That's right. The issue. Don't believe anything else.
All right, let's go next. All right, next, Kim Jong-un making a special appearance, sending a special envoy to Beijing, China.
He's plummeted out of my top 5 dictators in the world.
Let me just say it.
Kim Jong-un impressive is what he ought to change his name to. So China sends their man 2 weeks ago. And I don't know what they told him, but it was probably like, bro, we're going to cut off your cake if you don't knock this off.
Well, I think the quote was... something to the effect of China is greatly displeased with some of their actions.
That's like when Don Corleone says that. You know what the message is, right?
That's right.
So now that he's got to send his boy to Beijing to make kissy-kissy face so that China won't shut off the money. That's really the issue, right? The bank has been propping up North Korea for a long time. And so I'm disappointed. I mean, he was really skyrocketing to the top, man. He had Ahmadinejad in his sights. And now he's
just making a blip
now. Yeah, now he's just unimpressive.
All right, next. All right, next, Francis. Wiener in New York.
The Wiener is in
the Big Apple.
he's running for mayor. They've already had one debate since this started.
And presently at the polling numbers, they say he's running second to some
female. Which is
female.
Surprising, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't think he'd be that close, to be honest with you. I really didn't think that he would... be able to make it back. But then again, I didn't think Sanford would get reelected either, and he did. So,
if you're following it, some of the people that are involved, that are following his campaign, are saying some really stupid things like, well, I don't know why you should connect one thing with the other. Like, really? It's a character issue.
This is the guy. I mean, this is who he is, right? He showed his true character. I mean, this was not a one-time issue. I mean,
beginning, he came out and said there could be other photos released.
Right. When he interviewed prior to saying I'm going to run for mayor, he said, "Well, I don't know. I cannot say that there aren't other pictures out there," which is the same as saying there are other pictures.
There are other pictures out there.
So I don't get where these people are coming off saying, "Look, I like the guy because he's kind of got the same attitude I do." Like, well, if you ever saw him in Congress ranting at people when he was in Congress, I mean. It was fun to watch.
I hate the guy. Have you seen any pictures of his wife?
Yeah.
Dude, she is stunning.
Yeah, she is.
She is stunningly beautiful.
And again, that makes no sense to me. But he's just turned out to be a liar again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And I think you and I have talked about this several times. The one thing that keeps getting overlooked is he has no way of knowing if he was sending those pictures to underage girls.
Right. He has no way of knowing if he was doing something illegal.
He could easily have been... running for mayor or being on To Catch a Predator.
Right.
Right? I mean...
Right,
really,
yeah.
I just don't get... I don't get the fervor over this. And why can liberals are coming out supporting this guy? I just don't get it.
It's crazy. I'm sure we'll talk about this more in the future.
If the race gets tight, yeah, we'll definitely be.
If the race gets tight, this Wiener thing could get hard. We'll talk about it more.
Oh, yeah.
All right, next up, Francis, a topic of yours that you edited in, Adrian Peterson against a gay marriage.
Here's how I put this. I don't have a problem with gay marriage. But this is interesting to me because here's a guy, you know, football players take a bad rap, right, for being dumb jocks.
No, they don't.
But if you listen to Adrian Peterson, the dude is educated, clearly.
Sure, he's a smart guy.
Someone asked him about it because Chris Cluey was a punter in Minnesota, got cut, not because he was, and Chris Cluey's a huge gay rights activist.
He was very outspoken.
His Twitter feed is phenomenal to follow. But he got cut because he's a lousy punter. I mean, that's his bottom line, right?
Yeah.
So Peterson was asked about that. And then Peterson then went on to voice his opinion on gay marriage, and he was against it. And, I don't have an issue with it. You should have the right to voice your opinion. I think what's impressive about it, and what's also sad at the same time, is how well he articulated his thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sad part is that it became this monster huge headline that a man has come out against gay marriage without being a total tool bag.
Yeah.
Well, why is that a headline? I mean, why can't you be against something without being considered homophobe? You know what I mean? All those things you talk about that get slung at people.
Sure.
I mean...
Sure, I agree.
You know what I mean? That's a sad commentary.
And he did. I will give you credit. He did articulate his position pretty well.
A lot of people do, though. But for some reason, the fact that he did it, everyone's like, oh, this was great. Well, why isn't it okay for him to say it? I don't understand.
I was a little surprised that he didn't get more negative press on it. Yeah, I was.
Because I was expecting the negative press because that's the norm, right? You can't voice opinion against anything that's popular without getting run over with some kind of terminology. And I think you went through that on a podcast.
Right.
You talked about that kind of stigma that's out there, generally towards conservatives in the current political climate.
And if you didn't hear that, you need to go back and listen to the daggone podcast.
On you. Right. So I was surprised that the headline was this huge, hey, a man comes out against gay marriage and he does it without being a douche. Well, a lot of people have done that. So for some reason, because a guy we generalized to be uneducated and just this buffoon carrying a football comes out and says, very articulated thought, you know, I don't agree with him. I mean, you know, I guess what I'm trying to rant about is, why isn't it okay that he did that? You know what I mean? Why does it have to be this big news? It shouldn't be big news when someone says...
It shouldn't be news at all.
Right.
Sure.
When someone makes opposition, it shouldn't be news on how he presented it. Because you're allowed to be opposed to things. That's the whole tenet of the country,
You know what? But that's part of my argument that I've been making, Fred. On this issue, it's getting to the point where you're not allowed to be opposed to it.
I wrote that force from the public
square post. You did.
That same thing.
I agree.
And I don't get it. This whole thing baffles me. I don't get it.
It is baffling. All right, let's go next. All right, this next issue concerns me, Fran, greatly. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I am a big fan of The Celebrity Apprentice. And if Trump runs for president, they're going to stop making this show.
Oh, they'll have, right. Well, he just couldn't be on it. I mean, they could put one of his CEOs in there.
It won't be the same.
Well, he could do it
with his daughter, and that would be pretty special.
Right, but he can't.
She is a sharp cookie, my friend.
He could do it. See, here's what people don't understand on the election laws. He could do it, but the amount of time he's on TV would then have to be offered to every other candidate.
And, of course, what we're talking about is Trump making Trump's talking about making a 2016 White House.
He ain't talking. He's putting his money where his mouth is.
He put $1 million down.
$1 million into an exploratory committee to see what the temperature is like in the country. Like you said, that's $100. He probably loses that in a day.
Go Donald.
Yeah.
Go Donald.
That would be the greatest thing ever. We'll put him on the big board next week. That would be the greatest thing ever.
Yes, we will.
But, that's a Christmas present that just will keep on giving until 2016.
All right, one more. All right, Fran, my favorite and yours, Michelle Bachmann, 57-year-old, Republican for the district in Minnesota. Yeah. Can't remember the number.
Six, I think.
Sixth district in Minnesota. Now that she won't run, and I know that you want to talk about this with glee.
Well, not glee. I mean, I didn't necessarily guess that this was coming, but I didn't think she was going to win re-election. The tide in Minnesota has clearly changed. I mean, they just legalized gay marriage, right? Which was the other reason that they asked Peterson about that, because he plays for Minnesota Vikings. The temperature in Minnesota is turning against her. Her campaign for president is under serious review, and not by the administration. She's one of the few people who's not being investigated by the White House. She's being investigated by the SEC. because she cheated with her money. She's not paid a lot of her staffers. You know, she's given the old, I want to spend more time with my family. You know, that's all nonsense. She was going to lose, and she's in hot water over her finances for her campaign, and she owes a lot of money. So this will give her a chance to go out. And look, she's even with people like her and this guy, Alan West, in Florida, I still maintain you cannot be stupid and make it in the public. You just can't be. There can be people propping you up, but she's a smart woman. I have no doubt about that.
She is. Occasionally a little nutty.
A little flighty, nutty. Yeah. I think her problem is she chases public polling too much, and that causes her to be silly sometimes.
Although, I'll honestly say, I think it's a little sexist to say she's a little nutty, because there are men that are as nutty as she is,
Alan
and they
West,
don't get
I think,
that rap.
I think Alan West, read what's been written about. Well, of course, he lost his election, so he's not been in the news, she'll make money on Electra Circus. What I was getting at. She's a smart person.
Sure.
People will pay her millions to come speak. Hillary's doing that now. So that's how she's going to pay off her bills and write things with the SEC, because she needs to do that quickly. And she was going to lose. She said that in her speech that, you know, I feel like we were going to win. No, you weren't.
Yeah.
She wasn't going to win. She was going to lose. The tide was just turning against her, and she... Again, she's just one of those people that gets in front of her microphone and she just goes batshit crazy. But she's really not. She authors some good policy.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And she's done right by the people of Minnesota, but the tenor in Minnesota is changing in a more liberal way. And so it's just not her atmosphere anymore.
All right.
She's getting out.
Well, I'm going to miss her. But that's shotgunning the news.
Yeah.
I rarely listen to podcasts, but when I do, I listen to Unfiltered and Unfettered.
It's time for 90 Seconds of Minutia.
All right, Fran, so tonight's 90 Seconds of Minutia, and with full disclosure, we don't claim that it's 90 seconds any longer.
Right.
It's just the name of the thing. But we're talking about the White House, the DOJ scandal with the investigating reporters, investigating James Rosen. On the blog post, I said I'd replay the clip, so let's do that now.
It was said to me in an email by a top... It was said very clearly, you will regret doing this.
Who sent that email to you?
Well, I'm not going to say.
Was it a senior person at the White House?
A very senior person. And... just as a man, I mean, it makes me very uncomfortable to have the White House telling reporters you're going to regret doing something that you believe in, and even though we don't look at it that way, you do look at it that way. And I think if Barack Obama knew that was part of the communications strategy, let's hope it's not a strategy, but that it's a tactic that somebody's employed, say, look, we don't go around trying to say to reporters, if you, in an honest way, present something we don't like, that you know you're going to regret this. It's Mickey Mouse.
Okay, so Fran, we talked about this back in episode 4 of Unfiltered and Unfettered. Apparently,
the Woodward quote.
The Woodward quote. In the situation with the White House and feeling threatened by reporters, you know how I feel about Wolf Blitzer. He's a freaking tool.
Right.
Apparently, it was a strategy, and it was a tactic, and it is Mickey Mouse.
Apparently, it was the tip of the iceberg, right?
I mean,
we're finding out now that we've not even gotten to the bottom of this piece of ice yet. I mean, let's just set the story here real quick for people that don't know. I mean, Jay Rosen is a primetime investigative reporter for Fox. He is not a bird dog that O'Reilly sends out to. You know what I mean? He is a serious political journalist. He's on every night. He's not some dude they go to during disasters and things like that, right? He's on every night. He broke a story, quote unquote, broke a story, because when you hear, about North Korea saying that Kim Jong-un would respond with nuclear testing if the White House did this, this, and this. And he broke that story, but really, is that breaking a story? Because Kim Jong-un responds with nuclear tests when the sun comes up. You know what I mean? It wasn't like some big thing.
Right, yeah.
But he had two sources in the State Department. He would not name them, as he's not wont to do as a reporter. Name his sources. At that point, unknown to him, the FBI and the DOJ were then starting to look into him, his personal life, his text, his emails, some legal, possibly some not legal. And he's, from what I understand, you know, looking into his legal options. Then FBI marked him as a flight risk, a threat to national security, and he can't get on an airplane in the United States. I mean, it's
just a little unbelievable.
He just said, right. And he's addressed this a few times. He's went on O'Reilly, and he said, "Where am I going to go? You know, at the risk of patting myself on the back, I'm a nationally known TV journalist. Where the heck am I going to get a flight risk?" Well, it's just bizarre, right? So he's not uncomfortable. He's actually, and he's not even being threatened. He's actually being attacked, right? I mean, there's really
right.
no word for
yeah,
it.
No, right.
I'm searching for a word that would make sense. He's actually being attacked by the White House.
They said some really negative things yeah. about this guy,
oh, yeah.
right? Yeah.
To mark him as a flight risk indicates that he's they're attempting to massage an espionage charge onto him
mm-hmm.
because he, quote-unquote, conspired with two State Department staffers to get this story. And again, we're not talking about, like, the keys to our nuclear missiles. We're talking about, hey, ONU's going to respond with nuclear testing if we do this and this with China. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah, so the fallout of this is that they're investigating these reporters. You know, Woodward said this back in when was it, February or something mm-hmm. like that, when we first talked
right.
about it here.
Right.
Because, you know, we thought it was significant.
And everyone else poo-pooed him. Everyone else said, grow up.
Yeah, grow up, get over it. Bob Woodward, they said this
yeah,
to.
Yeah.
And somehow, I think that his remarks are chilling in retrospect. And I would like to go back, and I don't know why Woodward's not in the news about this, saying, what did you...
Think I was right?
Yeah.
Right. And hey, Wolf, up yours.
That's, yeah.
You know, like because that we didn't play the whole thing.
Right.
But Wolf and his co-anchor were fairly condescending at the end of that interview.
They really were. Like, oh, did you really feel threatened?
Right. Like, pull up your big boy panties.
Yeah.
You know, this is only the guy who brought down one of the most famous Republican presidents we ever had. It's not like he's a partisan hack.
Right.
Right. I mean, like, it just doesn't make sense. And Jay Rosen. I mean, you can't find a liberal reporter to say a negative thing about him. And look, he's on Fox News, all right?
Yeah.
That says enough by itself. And you can't find a liberal to say something bad about Jay Rosen. So I don't get this. It has also taken a turn because now, and through this investigation into Rosen, the Department of Justice is looking into White House staffers as part of this North Korea story leak. So that it has become Nixonian and actually more Stalin-like in that they're now starting to kill their own. I mean, they're literally forming a circular firing squad. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, you know, as one person, the editor from the Washington Post, Lynn Downey, said, this is a witch hunt. This is a witch hunt for leakers in the administration and for leakers everywhere else. And the administration is going beyond what the law requires. That's the sentence everyone needs to hold on to with both hands. Because... that combined with the IRS scandal, there's some law breaking going on here. It just hadn't surfaced yet.
Well, let's get to the IRS scandal
yeah.
right after we play one of our sponsors from a previous episode who's agreed to sponsor us on episode 10.
Hi, this is Brent Jones, Chairman, CEO of Republican Airlines. You taking your weekly excursions to Chicago, New York, LA, London, getting on your first class seat? Waiting for them second-class passengers to get on, getting hit in their face with their duct-tape duffel bags and their screaming, crying, snot-nosed kids. At Republican, we think you deserve a better experience for your money. That's why we designed an airline that's first class and only first class. We don't think you deserve to fly with people that ain't as good as you are. So our only discriminator at Republican is money. You got the money? We got your seat. So if you got the money, come on board, sit back in your seat, relax, take it easy, have a nice cocktail. By the way, served by somebody that a Republican, we still call a stewardess. And all our stewardesses are former Hooters girls. Because let's face it, when you're getting ready to drink a nice cool gin and tonic, who wants it served by an old lady or a gay guy? A Republican,
We think you deserve more for your money. So at Republican Airlines, if you got the money, we got your seat. Come on board. I'm Brent Jones.
All right, and thank Republican Airlines for sponsoring us on episode 10, bringing back some of their sponsorship. Fran, just a few minutes on the IRS scandal. I mean, another scandal beleaguering the Obama administration.
Yeah, I mean, when we were, you know, when we were ginning up the show, we thought we were going to have a bunch of these good stories to talk about. And all of a sudden, all these other stories popped out of nowhere. This thing is heating up. In my mind, this is probably not as big a deal as the Rosen issue, only because there were clear laws broken, I think, by the DOJ in the Jay Rosen story that will come out later. The girl who ran the Cincinnati office, the one who was in charge of that whole thing, never really committed a crime. She did what's within the scope of the IRS. The issue will become when they can prove that it was the White House, someone in the White House, not even, doesn't have to be the president, could be an advisor, who ordered her to do it. That's where the law had been broken. And now we found out this today, as a matter of fact, that this goes, you know, this has been the liberal mantra, and they're my people, and I, you know, so I have no defense for this. Well, it's just this little office in Cincinnati. How are you making a big deal out of this? Well, and again, this is another story of people who should get the facts before they run their mouth. Because now it appears that this goes beyond that little office in Cincinnati, that other IRS offices around the country were doing the exact same thing.
It's just, we even had on local radio here some Tea Party folks come on and share their experience, how they were trying to get the you know, the classification for the nonprofit, and basically said on the local radio station here is Halloran Hilton Hills Local Talk Radio, basically said we gave up because they just weren't going to let us after we answered all their questions about what were the content of our prayers, you know, when we went to bed at night and all these kinds of things. I think it's unbelievable.
That's the other layer of the onion that's not been peeled yet, right? When the questions start really being dissected by the press, it's going to be like, are you kidding? Are you kidding? I mean, CNN had on a guy who filed for tax exemption for his liberal political action committee. And they asked him, well, you know, what was the process? He goes, well, I mean, there's a lot of forms. But I mean, I got the thing. I got them through. It didn't take me that long, but it's just a lot of paperwork. But before the dude could take the mic away from him, the guy says, "Well, I got a buddy who's in a conservative organization, and when we compared stories, there was no comparison. There was no end to his tunnel. I could see the light at the end of my tunnel, and I managed to push through the paperwork. Not much different than applying for a college loan or a mortgage. You know, scope of paperwork." This guy, he'd still be, if he hadn't given up, he'd still be working the paperwork. And there's no, every piece of paper is a run back to the page before it. So it's this gigantic circular, you know, process that just never ends.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had the magic word in there.
So these three things are going to come to fruition sooner or later. I hope they don't drop Benghazi, which I still think is a relevant topic.
Right.
Because four people died, and more information is coming out that the administration bungled this thing before and after.
Mm-hmm.
Right? The DOJ investigation of reporters.
For the AP, right?
The AP reports. And the IRS scandal.
Then the FBI investigating Jay Rosen.
Yes.
And that's one thing you have to keep in mind. The AP reporter story is separate from Jay Rosen. Those were not linked issues. It wasn't like they went after the AP and they got on to Jay Rosen. These are completely different stories.
That's correct, yeah.
White House directed. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, these are White House directed investigations into reporters in a country where we're supposed to have free speech. This is how bad these three stories are. It has pushed Benghazi to the back burner.
Yeah,
and that story, to me, is the most important because, as you just said, an ambassador and three of his security team were left to die.
Died horrible deaths.
And we're left there to die.
We're preventable. And, you know, the military is saying we had guys on the ground ready to go in. Whether they made it there in time is hard to know.
To get there.
But, it's awful. All right. Well, Fran, we got a very special first-timer on Unfiltered Unfettered. We have a public service announcement from the U.S. government.
Hey, kids. This is your old Uncle Sam from the U.S. government. And
your old Uncle Sam wants you to know that the U.S. government and your Uncle Sam care about you. That's why when you're out there having sex with your little friends and your little buddies, we want you to use a condom. That's right. I want you to use a condom. Now, I know condoms are awfully hard to get for you little buckaroos and buckarees at your age. That's why your old Uncle Sam is going to give them to you free of charge. That's right. Free of charge. Because we care about you. Now, a couple things you need to know. Number one, one size fits all. That's right. Old Uncle Sam's got a special size little condom. Going to fit all your little peepees. Number two, they come with special lube. And I want you to make sure you use that. So when you're out there having sex and making your little monkey noises, they don't break. So remember this rhyme. If you got a pube, use the lube. Now, all Uncle Sam wants you to know, if you forget to use the rubbers, it can be a very emotional event. So I want you to remember this rhyme also. Don't make her blubber. Use the rubber. I want you to remember this, kids. It's very important for your safety and your health. Now, I will tell you, old Uncle Sam's condoms come in red, white, and blue, so you can get out there and fly your flag proudly. All right, kids. So one more time, I want you to know that Uncle Sam and the government cares about you. So come on down and get your free condoms. This has been a public service announcement from your U.S. government and your old Uncle Sam.
All right, thank the U.S. government for that very special public service announcement. And now, Fran, it's time for our very special episode of Who Said That, our special commencement edition.
Who said that? Who said that?
Okay, now, full disclosure, Fran, these can be very tough because these are lines from commencement speeches from celebrities. So, you know, before we've played things of historical significance, political significance that you really have a shot at.
Right.
These could be tough.
Yeah. Now, okay. When you say celebrities, is the president and the vice president involved in that? Because they did commencement speeches over the weekend.
I have no. I'll give you that tip. All right. So here we go with this episode of Who Said That?
Who said that? Who said that?
Okay, so first up, here's the quote, Fran. You know, you don't have to be famous. You just have to make your mother and father proud. And your choices are Meryl Streep, Diane Keaton, Goldie Hawn.
See, there's not a bum in that lot. There, you know what I mean? That could have come from all three of them. You've got to give me one that I can just eliminate immediately and then go down a 50-50 guess here. I'm gonna go with my gut, which was Meryl Streep when I heard it.
Meryl Streep, you are correct, sir. You are correct, sir.
This is gonna be just guesswork.
All right. Here we go. Number two. For it is the fool who puts all his eggs in one basket. I say, spread your eggs around. Pick them up and throw them in every direction. And your choices are Seth Rogen, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, James Franco.
Yeah, well, Franco, man, he's, you know, you throw that term a liberal, you know, educated elite around, he's one of that. No, that doesn't sound like him. That's too funny. And he's usually high most of the time anyway. I'll go with my girl, Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
James Franco.
Really?
Sorry, man, the first guy you eliminated.
Yeah, all right.
All right, number three, you're one for two. If life gives you lemons, grab it by the horns and drive. Yes, I just mixed up three metaphors. Remember, I was a C student. And your choices are Will Ferrell, Steve Carell, Jane Lynch. If life gives you lemons, grab it by the horns and drive. Yes, I just mixed up three metaphors. Remember, I was a C student.
I'm going to go Steve Carell, but...
Jane Lynch. Jane Lynch, man. You're one for two.
This is getting one for...
I told you this is a tough one.
One for three.
One for three, I'm sorry. Yeah, one for three.
Go, right?
I told you this was a tough one.
Yeah. Yeah, see, I don't know these people.
here's another one. This is a good one. By the time I was your age, I really thought I knew who I was, but I had no idea. Like, for example, when I was your age, I was dating men. So what I'm saying is, when you're older, most of you will be gay. Anyone writing this down? Parents? And your choices are Wanda Sykes, Rosie O'Donnell, Ellen DeGeneres.
I'll go with Wanda Sykes on that.
Oh, Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh, this is a bloodbath.
This is. All right, one for four. Our final one of the night, Francis. And this is a good one. This is one of my favorites. And you have no chance.
It's probably good because I'm not going to get
it. You have no chance to get it. Okay. Tweeting your Vines, hashtagging your Spotify's, and Snapchatting your YOLOs. Your generation needs everything to be about you, and that's very upsetting to us baby boomers because self-absorption is kind of our thing. And your choices are Stephen Colbert, Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller.
Man, can Colbert and Ferrell be baby boomers?
I'll read it again just because it's a good one. Tweeting your Vines, hashtagging your Spotify's, and Snapchatting your YOLOs. Your generation needs everything to be about you, and that's very upsetting to us baby boomers because self-absorption is kind of our thing.
Who are the... Give me the choices again.
Stephen Colbert, Will Ferrell, Ben Stiller.
I wouldn't think any of those guys would be old enough to be baby boomers.
One of them is.
Yeah, obviously.
Yep.
Can't be Colbert. He's... Although that's who I would pick to be old enough. Well, he still looks old. I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to go with Ben Stiller. I have no idea. But I just can't imagine Colbert and Will Ferrell are that old.
One for five, my friend, Stephen Colbert.
Really?
Yes, it was.
Boy, I tell you what, he looks to be that old.
Special commencement edition of Who Said That, and it just tore you up, Francis.
Yeah, I'm going to slump. This 2 weeks, two podcasts in a row.
I feel slightly poor about that.
Yeah, I'm sure you do. Yeah.
But nobody has still claimed that they beat you.
Yeah, well.
All right, another scintillating edition of Who Said That. And now it's time for... All right, Fran, and that means it's time for Hardcore Politics. Tonight the topic is Obama's no Nixon. He's worse. What do you got for us?
Well, I'll tell you what. You know, the obvious... Or I guess what they seem obvious comparisons to Nixon and Obama's administrations in light of these scandals that have come out. And with these, he's not just attacking reporters, because that really, you know, and again, we've talked about, you know, I might parse words too much, but attacking reporters is more like getting up to the microphone and, you know, browbeating a dude because he asked a question. I mean, they're taking backdoor channel legal action. They're doing illegal surveillance. They're cyber surveilling reporters, American reporters, because they're doing their jobs. So, you know, Nixon had his blacklist, right? He had his list of people that got on the list that would be investigated. So the obvious comparisons are going on between Obama and Nixon. And I would just repeat Lloyd Benson's line, you're no Nixon. You're
right.
Worse.
Yeah.
You're worse. Because Nixon, you know, like children, when you catch them doing something wrong, that look on their face shows that they know they're doing something wrong. That's what you picture Nixon when you read the stories and the accounts of when everything started to roll up on him. The current president seems to not care one way or the other what people think, what reporters are saying. He's just going to add that reporter to the next watch list. Jay Rosen, AP reporters. Now he's starting to investigate his own staffers for leaks.
Well, he's putting Holder in charge of investigating the Department of Justice, which is like putting the fox in charge of investigating who's in the hen house.
And not only that, and I can't believe people are talking about this, but in the initial aftermath, when these stories all broke in the same week, a reporter asked Holder, who was the Attorney General of the United States, were you in on the investigation, the DOJ investigation of White House staffers? And he said, no, I recused myself. Or excuse me, the IRS.
Right.
He said, I recused myself from that investigation. He lied. He flat out lied.
Right.
It turns out now that they have found out that not only did he not recuse himself, he was leading the investigation into the IRS scandal. So, and what does that really mean? Other than the fact that you can't trust what he says. And I know a lot of right-wingers out there saying, oh, no crap, Leonardo. We've been telling you that for 4 years. Well, but now there's solid evidence to say he's lying. He's being underhanded. He's running investigations into his own department.
Like, yeah, right.
Like you just said, that makes no sense. What do you think it's going to say? Well, of course, we acted in all the, you know, within the parameters of the law. Now, Glenn Greenwald, who is he's a guy you would love. He is as liberal as they come. A civil rights attorney, openly gay man, decided he can't stay in the United States anymore, so he lives in Brazil. Everything you like about an American. So he is lobbing some pretty big grenades. He's big on the Pentagon Papers, which were published during the Nixon era. A leak of a White House staffer leaked what was going on in Vietnam. And, of course, Nixon went, you know, roughshod over the press on that. So he's comparing that to this. But, again, he's saying what I'm saying, which is no, that doesn't compare. I mean, if Obama can, he still will lock these guys up. Jay Rosen is still in jeopardy of being charged with espionage.
Yeah.
Think that through for a second. I mean,
yeah, it's serious.
He just all he reported was a story about a reaction of another world leader.
Well, that's what they're saying. If they manage to convict James Rosen, that makes thousands and thousands of reporters engaging in illegal action.
How could anyone file a story?
Right.
Without wondering if they're going to be investigated by the IRS, the DOJ, and the FBI. Because that's who's coming after Rosen and the AP reporters. Three government agencies that are attacking the political, ideological opponents of the current administration. That, you, Mr. Obama, are no Nixon. You're worse. You're worse.
It's starting to stack up. So, yeah.
You talk about second-term blues. I mean, we kind of discussed what happens to second-term presidents in the last hardcore politics. He's looking to set the benchmark. I mean, this is crazy.
He's setting the benchmark. And before we get to the unfiltered, unfettered big board, just kind of tail off this argument, I would say, you know, a guy to watch in this whole thing is going to be Trey Gowdy. And I know that you're familiar with that term. He's the one that called the lady from the IRS department on the carpet about claiming the Fifth. You know, you go in there and you say, I didn't do anything.
Right.
I haven't broken any laws. I claim the Fifth. And he's like, hey, you can't do that. You can't come in here.
Yeah.
You're going to claim the Fifth from the bit. And that's been debated.
Right.
But if you go back and review some of the YouTube clips and check this guy Trey Gowdy out, you know, who was the big lawyer during the Nixon administration that became, you know, the old country lawyer, the guy that became the centerpiece? I can't remember his name right now. But this Trey Gowdy guy, I'm not ready to put him on the big board, but he's coming to the forefront.
Yeah.
And as the Obama administration starts to crumble under their own kind of deception and their bad practices, this guy's going to be a player. I'm just going on record on episode 10 of saying
legally,
Trey Gowdy's a guy to watch.
Legally, his argument was wrong. The spirit of his argument was right.
Yes.
But legally, he had no standing. And the chairman of that committee was a Republican. Darrell Issa is a witch hunter.
But
he even said, look, you cannot waive rights.
Right.
Like all she did was make a statement. She has to protect herself because we're going to subpoena her.
But what he was saying was correct in that you can't come in here and say you didn't do anything wrong and then claim the Fifth.
Right.
That's just wrong. Right.
Right. In the spirit of transparency, that's clearly.
And if you go back and listen to the Benghazi hearings, the IRS hearings, he traded swords with Eric Holder.
Yeah.
This guy is a guy on the rise, this Trey Gowdy dude, and he's a straight shooter, shoots straight from the hip, Francis, a guy we love on Unfiltered and Unfettered. So we'll be talking about him more, I'm sure.
And one quick sidecar to that is the atmosphere that caused her to take the Fifth. She's a government employee in the Obama administration. She took the Fifth because people have, the analysts who said, look, she has to do that. Because there's a clear indication that they may indict her.
Right.
Her own administration that ordered her to do this thing, and everyone believes that they've been ordered to do it, they just can't prove it yet. She has to retain counsel to protect herself. That's why she did it. And that's why Darrell Issa had no qualms letting her do it and walk away, even though clearly the ethical boundaries were broken by that.
Sure, yeah.
But he's thinking her own White House is coming for her. She has to has to legally protect herself, and that's what she did.
Yeah, she's a piece of dirt.
It's,
all right, Francis, who's going on the big board tonight?
Well,
we've already actually got him on the big board. Our big boards are up to date. Who's on it?
You got him. Wow, you've been busy. All right.
I'm on top of it.
This guy's really kind of fallen out of the news lately, but because of all this crap that's going on, and he is not a fan of the administration, even though he's a Democrat. He said some things where he thinks they play foul ball sometimes with the way things go. But Newark, New Jersey Mayor Cory Booker, Democrat. He's single, 44 years old, born in 69, born in Washington, D.C. He's a West Coast elitist. Went to Stanford, was a Rhodes Scholar, went to Oxford, and then came back east and got his J.D. from Yale. Highly educated individual, African-American, most noted for his Twitter escapades during the huge snowstorm they had back east 2 years ago. And he was tweeting out to his constituents in the city of Newark, here's my cell number. If you can't get out of your street, call me. And then they assumed that he would then send someone. No. He showed up in the back of a squad car with a shovel, and he started digging people out. Right. And he did that for a week. This guy was a Stanford lineman at Stanford. I mean, he's a big dude. He rushed into a burning building and pulled a woman out shook off two of his security detail as they were trying to keep him from running into this row home in Newark. Got himself in hot water with the administration because he felt like they played dirty in some things, and he just felt like they were, you know, pulling at the straws to make issues out of nothing. So you're not going to hear much from him, I think, because they're not he cannot line up with what's going on now. So the Democrats aren't going to let him speak much. But I think he's a big time. How well he'll do in the race, who knows? But I think he's going to be there in 2016.
Cory Booker, snowballs chance in hell, but we're putting him on the big board.
Yeah, he'll
that's
make noise.
Basically,
he'll make
the
noise.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
All right, so the big board is up to date. At this point, we've got 5 Republicans, 5 Democrats. We're going to continue to update that. Francis, episode 10. We're winding it down here. It's incredible.
I feel old already.
It's 5 months, my friend, we've been at this, and it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah.
We enjoy every listen that we get. We enjoy every comment, every feedback. We definitely are continue to build a listening base on iTunes and through Podhoster.
Yeah. Hit our Yahoo Mail. Tell us what you think.
All right, so episode 10, wrapping it up again, like a black rat snake in the rain,
dude,
crawling up on your porch.
2 weeks from now, have a better metaphor for God's sake.
I love it. I'll have no better metaphor. All right.
I don't doubt it.
For all our folks, we always appreciate the listen. We'll be back in 2 weeks. Emily, please take us out.
I just love getting unfiltered and unfettered.